On today's show, Kyrie Irving has a choice word about the state of the Dallas Mavericks playoff chances. What did he mean? And do the Mavericks have any cards left to play? We'll talk about that and more in today's Locked On Mavs.
I'm Luka Doncic, and this is Locked On Mavericks. How about the
Mavericks? NBA champions. He hit it! Bang! Bang! It's good! And the Mavericks have won the game!
If you don't believe, you shouldn't be here.
Loyalty never fades away.
Welcome. You are locked on to the Dallas Mavericks. My name is Nick Engstead, media member and NBA channel manager for the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thanks for being part of the show and making Locked On Mavs your first listen every day. Subscribe or follow for free wherever you get your podcasts or on YouTube. Or the best way you can help us grow the show is to listen every day on any podcast platform, any YouTube platform, and comment anything below. Let us know in the comment section, do you think the Mavericks have any cards left to play? Should somebody be getting more playing time that isn't? Should they change something in the starting lineup? Is there a card left to play the Mavericks don't have? This episode is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, official sportsbook partner of Locked On. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. And join me, as always, my co-host, writer, and contributor at Mavs.com. The Ferrari friend, the One More Thing King. What you got for me, Isaac Harris?
Just over here trying to open up a bag of Goo Goo Clusters, because you said we're going to talk about some clusters today, and that's just what I'm trying to eat as a snack.
That's what we're going to talk about today.
Goo Goo Clusters, Draymond Green, Bill Simmons, what a combo.
We will talk about Bill Simmons' quote about Draymond Green joining the Mavericks, and maybe LeBron James too.
I didn't hear the rest of that quote. I just heard the first part, just Draymond.
I know. I'll tell you what the rest of it was here in a second. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the Mavericks have any cards left to play, because I want to start here, and I want to start with Kyrie Irving's quote that seems to be making the rounds, which, hey, surprise, surprise, the Kyrie quote is making the rounds.
It's great. It's great, dude. Dude, it's great. It's great. It's great, broski. Bro, name it. It's great. It's great. It's great, bro. It's great. It's great. It's great. This life's great, bro. I have no complaints. I don't.
In the other quote, the post-game quote example of that, great, it's great, it's great, it's great. Quote from Kyrie Irving after the loss to the Sixers. Quote, we are in a season where other teams are positioned. We are in the season and where other teams are positioned already. It kind of looks like, you know, a bit of a cluster F right now, to be honest.
What's the F stand for?
Frick. We're 37 and 40 and trying to fight to get into the play-in, and it's not the expectations I think any of us had. Isaac Harris and Roman Harris, your son, who is sitting on your lap right now. You guys just heard. Hi, Roman.
This is a great time for him to learn about this cluster word.
What does Kyrie mean by this, and what does he not mean? Let's start with that.
Well, it immediately went to everybody, you know, arguing on Twitter of like, this is not – because – you know, the quote came out by two different people. You know, Callie, you know, tweeted out and said, hey, he was asked about the playoff race. He said that, you know, as a quote. And then, you know, Chris Mannix tweets it out. No, not Chris Mannix.
Tim Bontemps.
Tim Bontemps, which, you know, I wouldn't say is the biggest Kyrie Irving, you know, fan out there. Tweets it out and was like, when asked about, like, the situation in Dallas right now. It's like, okay, well, these are two kind of different things here. So, you know, once he actually typed out the entire massive quote and like tweeted it out after, because he got hammered by Mavs fans.
Yes.
For the context of it. So he tweeted out the huge long quote, you know, that Kyrie said, that, you know, said it in context. And, you know, he did talk about kind of the current situation a little bit, but I feel like he was kind of just talking about just where the, like, that spot in the West is and all the teams. Hi. Yes, I know. Yeah, they see you. My wife is gone right now, so I don't really have...
Oh, I didn't know you were by yourself.
So he just came out of his room. But anyway, I feel like he's talking about the Western Conference, like, play-in spot and all of that, instead of, like, the current Mavs situation.
This is what I thought he was talking about, especially when Cali positioned it as the playoff situation. And even in the beginning of this quote, he says, you know, where we are in the season and where other teams are positioned already, it kind of looks like, you know, a bit of a cluster F, right? Like, that's what he's talking about, is that the state of the West and where the Mavericks are right now, is the situation itself is that. Now, a lot of people, and this is why I want to say, what does he not mean? I don't think he means what the Mavericks are right now. Like, I don't think he's looking at this and saying, oh, my time in Dallas, the Mavericks, this organization, my relationship with Luka, right? Like, take all the different leaps that you want. That's not what he meant. That's not what he meant about this. And so I'm not taking it that extra step. I think he's talking about this. Now, it is a cluster F, the state of the Mavericks right now and where they are, because they are in the spot where they are in the playoffs. But I don't think he's talking about the organization in general or his, like, is he going to re-sign or any of that? Like, I wouldn't read into that too much. I'm not trying to read into any Kyrie quotes, because if you start reading into Kyrie quotes too much, start trying to read between the lines, you're just going to get confused, right? So I'm not going to do that. I'm going to take take it as face value and say that he's talking about the playoff picture that the Mavericks are in and the position the Mavericks have put themselves in.
I think you get in a dangerous spot when you try to understand, you know, some of the things that Kyrie says. You know, like, it's kind of like the Kawhi Leonard thing of, like, trying to, well, I know what Kawhi's thinking. You know, I know what Kawhi wants.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what Kawhi wants. It's like, no, there's just some players you just don't. Like, and I think Kyrie's in that camp of, like, if it's okay. Like, if you just don't know, like, I'm not confident saying, yeah, it's exactly what he meant by that or exactly what this. I mean, we can just speculate on it and all that. He has spoken very, very highly of a situation in Dallas, or at least the relationship so far since he's been here and all of that. So I feel like it's a little different than how he feels about the Mavs organization or Dallas.
And of course he would feel disappointed by where they are right now and how the team is feeling and feel frustrated about it. He could call the team a cluster F right now. And I would, like, agree with him, I think. Because
I was going to say, that's the thing. No matter how he meant it, like, what is not that right now? What is not a cluster fudge right now? You know, like, because if they miss the play-in and all of this stuff, like, that is a disaster. Like, there's no way around it. You start looking at everything considered right now. Yeah, there's a lot up in the air. Like, there's a lot messed up that's not going to as planned as what we've talked about or what we thought would happen. So, dang, your kid is hollering now too.
We got dogs, we got toddlers, we got all kinds of stuff happening on this episode.
Yeah, so, you know, he wouldn't be wrong. I just don't think he's talking about, like, I don't think it's as, you know, simple as, dude, Kyrie was asked about what he thinks about being with the Mavs long term, and he's just like, yeah, it's like a cluster, you know, right now. So, blah, you know, so, I don't know. That's just my interpretation of it.
That's how I would take it too. Exactly. I was listening to what you said 100%, 100%, and not trying to give my dog a treat to get him to stop barking. Coming up, let's talk about if the Mavericks have another card to play, because in the state where the Mavericks are in now, what is left? What's left for them to do? What should we expect from Kyrie, from Luka? What could Jason Kidd do? We'll talk about that coming up. But before we do, let me tell you about FanDuel. FanDuel Sportsbook is the number one sportsbook in America and also the official sportsbook partner of Locked On. Go check out, see what they have available at fanduel.com/lockedon. And opening day, the Rangers got their first win.
Let's go get that dub.
Get that dub. So you can check out all kinds of baseball stuff. Still have NHL, still have college basketball to be played, both on the men's and the women's side. So you can check that out for sure. Go see what's available for you. And let's see if the Rangers have their next game on there. Go check it out at fanduel.com/lockedon. Thanks, everybody, for making Locked On Mavs your first listen today. And every post game, we appreciate you. And you're part of the Raccoon Squad if you listen 5 days a week. All right, Isaac, let's get into this. We talked about the Kyrie quote. We know what we think we know what he means by it. And we know what he doesn't mean by it. The thing that I want to focus on now
Do we?
Do we know? Do the Mavericks have any cards left to play? This is a question I've been kind of asking myself. It's like, there are so many fans that ask for, you got to play Christian Wood more. You got to play Jaden Hardy more. You got to play JaVale. That's been a thing recently. Do the Mavericks have cards left to play in that sense?
I don't think so this late in the season. I mean, I don't want to be I guess you could talk me into some more Jaden Hardy minutes.
We've been getting it.
Yeah, like I think you could see a little bit more of those. It's just the defense is so bad. It's not like they have a defensive lineup and an offensive lineup. So, like, everybody's just bad. Like, the whole team's defense is bad. So, it's not like you could sit there and say, you know what? We're going to – I think they should put out a defensive lineup. It's like, okay, well, do they have one? Like, is there one up their sleeves? I feel like they've played a lot of their cards. I mean, you could go back to the – you could try the Christian Wood experience in a bigger role, I guess, and just lean into the offense – even more, but I mean, yeah. Yeah. Arguing who's better at defense between Dwight and Christian Wood and in JaVale McGee is like, I don't even know what the equivalent is of arguing.
And like, even with Christian Wood, he doesn't fix your rebounding problems like you had hoped. Like, he's rebounding at a decent rate, but I saw in that Sixers game, he's not playing against Joel Embiid, and he just gets out-rebounded like 2, 3, 4 times, and you just get frustrated by it. And then the moving screens, right? Like, I don't know if they think they can – with the amount of screens that they want their bigs to set, I don't know if they trust somebody else. And that's why Dwight Powell gets minutes, because he can set a screen that's not moving. And so there's these other things. There's these other issues that come with it. It's not just Christian Wood's defense, the reason why he's not getting minutes at this point. And so – do they have another card left to play? I don't think there's another card rotation-wise left to play. However, I'm still holding on to, they've got to run more actions with Luka and Kyrie. Like, that's the last one. That's the last one to play. That's normally something you hold. Like, remember the Warriors with Curry and KD. They held that card close to the chest. And then all of a sudden in the finals, they're like, hey, let's run this over and over and over again, and we're just going to destroy the Cavs with this. And I think the Mavericks still have that card, and they need to play it now. They can't wait on it. They can't hold it back because, oh, you know, they'll be bad on defense. It'll tire them out on defense. That doesn't make any sense to me. They've got to play that. Just run some Luka screens, Kyrie with the ball, Luka with the ball, Kyrie screens. I don't care who's guarding either of them. You've got to run that stuff because you've got to have Kyrie and Luka involved in the actions, and we can't have this Kyrie shoved over in the corner and Luka Doncic handling the ball, or Luka in the corner, or standing out way on the perimeter, just hanging out while Kyrie has the ball and is like isolating.
Yeah, I don't want this to come across like some cop out answer, but I think it's time that they need, and they don't have it. And I just that's where I think a lot of this, like, I think, like, I'm still confident in Kyrie and Luka pairing. I just think it needs time. I think they got to figure. I think you have two, you know, all-star starters, you know, on these two guys, that they, you know, I think it's just going to take time for them to maximize their strengths off each other and learn how to play off each other more, which isn't even like a, you know, it's not like it's, yeah, I don't want to get down to like, is Kyrie Luka working and like all that stuff, because I think some of it's getting overblown of like, oh, the pairing doesn't work. And it's like, oh, okay, well, there's a lot. You're going to throw out the record between, you know, when they both play, but there's a lot that goes into that record too. And I think coaching staff has to figure out the right combinations with Kyrie when Luka's off the floor and they kind of alternate their minutes, the style of play. I think they got to figure that out too, of, hey, do you just go run the whole, you know, the same dang system at all times? And I don't think that's really the answer either. So I just think a lot of it is time. They definitely got to get, you know, some better support, more versatile supporting pieces around those two guys. But the pairing, I'm still confident in.
Yeah, I'm definitely confident in the pairing. I think that, yeah, they haven't figured out those minutes with Luka without Kyrie after losing some of their pieces, right? Like, I think that's been a big miss. But
and Josh, it's kind of like, Josh hasn't been the same. Like, imagine what this team would be like right now if Kyrie and Luka were still trying to, which, I mean, they're still, like, their stats are still fine. Like, if they were still figuring themselves out and Josh was still playing at the same level as before. And, you know, as early in the season when we were like, oh my gosh, look at this Josh Green. He's taking a step backwards. Jaden Hardy's taking a little step forward, but they just can't get it all to figure out at the same time.
Luka and Kyrie on the floor together, still a 120.5 offensive rating, which is great. Not as good as it was, you know, when they first started. And then 115.8 defensive rating, which is below average. So, like, not awful, but still below average. So they're still outscoring opponents when, like, that advanced stat is basically just they're still outscoring opponents when those two are on the court. It's the when Luka's on and Kyrie's off, or Kyrie's on and Luka's off. They still haven't figured that out. They still haven't figured, and then the clutch, which is what we talked about after the Sixers game. They still haven't figured that stuff out. And like you said, that takes time. That takes chemistry. We got a quote from Nico Harrison. Callie Kaplan, Dallas Morning News, did a one-on-one with him. Go read the whole article. There's a bunch of other really good questions from Callie.
Good job, Callie.
To Nico Harrison. But one of them was about Luka and Kyrie and the pairing so far. And this was just the greatest quote that we could have gotten from it about the pairing. The potential is limitless. I think you have a Ferrari and a monster truck. You know what I'm saying? Both amazing and awesome machines, but different styles, which makes us super dynamic. They can play off each other. They can play with each other. The combinations are limitless, really. And there's not many players in this league that are as good as those two.
Back to the car analogy. You're searching your soundboard, AJ.
Oh, I can't find it.
God, you're slacking.
So I
want right
to, be able to touch the car.
Ugh.
That, you know what that confirms to me? That they've been sitting behind closed doors in their front office meetings and they've been referring to Luka as a car way too often.
So I want to, be able to touch the car.
Remember, that quote that Jason Kidd just said is in reference to Luka back in his introductory press conference when Nico and Jason Kidd were both hired.
Yeah, 2 years ago.
When Kyrie was Kyrie still in the Nets then?
I don't know. He's one of those teams.
What did you think about this quote and the talk about the potential is limitless?
I mean, this is what you say whenever you make a deal like that. So, like, there's no, I truly do think he believes it. I believe it too. But also know that, like, he just made the biggest trade of his tenure in Dallas that, arguably his tenure in Dallas will be defined by this trade. So, I'm still, if I'm him, I'm going to do every interview that, and I'm asked about it, I'm going to say, hey, this pairing has a chance to be incredible. And just talk about the potential of it. Now, I did like some of the stuff he told Cali about how honest he was of like that, the two games against Charlotte. He, talked about how the, hey, they haven't hit the potential that they thought they would hit by now. And some of that. I like that honesty. I appreciated that and those answers to Cali. But yeah, he's gonna speak really highly of this trade he just made. Like, that's for sure.
I just thought I think you have a Ferrari and a monster truck. By the way, who's the Ferrari and who's the monster truck? Do we know?
The monster truck is Luka.
You're sure about that?
I'm pretty confident.
And Kyrie's the Ferrari.
One's a little faster than the other.
If you're looking at other cards the Mavericks have to play,
JaVale's not it.
What do you think about JaVale's role though? We've seen him recently in we've seen him play a little bit more, and I think he plays better with Kyrie without Luka. And I think that they've run that a little bit more.
I mean, yes, if you can get JaVale, 10 minutes, I feel like we're going back to the offseason. And sure, in some matchups.
Offseason, we were asking for 15. Sorry, we were asking for one more.
I don't think nothing has changed as far as like what the closing lineup could be in the sense of, like, I think the closing close games is going to be Luka and Kyrie. It's going to be Reggie and Maxi. And then that fifth spot is going to be the one that's going to change out based off the matchups. You're going to see Tim. You're going to see if Josh was, a few weeks ago playing high level or a month or so ago, he would be in that spot because they need his defense. Jaden Hardy, some of his like on off stuff and splits and stuff with Luka and Kyrie, and it's a lot of fun. And it's even seeing the differences of him, like when he's playing with Luka, he turns into this, spot up shooter there, and he's hitting the ball, he's hitting the three at a high clip, but then he has this ability to create and kind of like go score a bucket whenever Luka or Kyrie's off the floor too. And that's one of the cool things about Hardy. I had to give you props too, because earlier in the season, you were very adamant that Jaden Hardy is going to have like a role in this team before the end of the year. And I was very hesitant on it. I was like, dude, he's too young. They're going to be, they're going for contending team. They're going to, be a top four, top five team. Like, there's no way Hardy's going to have a shot at being able to crack the rotation this year as a rookie. And he's proven me wrong. Like, there's some nights, he's put up 20-something points, all these games. Like, he's surprised me at the end of this year.
He he surprised me too, because I thought around that December, January time that he, if he hadn't started to get some time then to develop him, that he wouldn't have this role. But where the Mavericks are combined with how good he's been has given him this role. And so, yeah, like I think he's been given this role. I also think, like, is he the Mavs' best shooter?
I think I'd still take Reggie in a 3-point shootout.
Really? No. Reggie.
Sorry.
Over Tim?
Kyrie.
Well, yeah, I think I would take Kyrie 1. Hardy 2. Did you just say Reggie? Reggie went 1-for-8 the other day.
I know. I don't know.
Him and Tim are
Reggie's been doing it longer, so.
Him and Tim are so streaky, and it's just been nice to have Hardy, who's like not as streaky. Or at least when he is streaky from 3, he can do something else. That's just been so nice to see.
Yeah.
But even this run, like his streakiness is, he'll go 33% and 60% instead of like 80% and 0% is what we've seen from the streaky Mav shooters. Coming up, let's talk about this Bill Simmons speculation idea, this hypothetical of Draymond Green coming to Dallas and LeBron James joining him. We'll talk about that coming up.
I'm excited.
All right, Isaac Harris, on Bill Simmons' podcast, he recently talked about the Dallas Mavericks, and he talked about Draymond Green and thinks that Draymond Green, who has a player option at the end of this season, is not going to be playing for the Warriors next year. And his first guess, this is all guess, speculation, idea, hypothetical. This is not rumor. We don't go straight into, I'm not even going to play the rumor has it drop, because it's not a rumor, right? Like, don't call it a rumor. I had two people DM me and ask me if this was, what did you think about this Bill Simmons rumor? Not a rumor. It's an idea, a speculation, as if you and I looked at each other and said, what's a hypothetical trade the Mavs should do, right? Like, this is what it would
okay.
be.
I'll push back just a little bit. I'm just saying that it wasn't a segment in which he was like, hey, let's pick Draymond Green teams.
Yeah.
And I get it's Bill Simmons and all this stuff, but there are random things that Bill is plugged into that Bill will randomly throw out. He was the first one months ago that was like, dude, Aaron Rodgers is going to the Jets. And I was like, what the crap? Like, that's the most like random thing to just throw out there. And he was pretty confident in it. And this one wasn't the same way. And now, you know, it looks like he's going to go to the Jets, but there's plenty of things he misses on, whatever. But he like weirdly brought this up of like, you know, he's like, there's some Dallas things out there and all this. So I will say that I think there's a tiny, tiny, tiny little bit more to it than just a, hey, we're all shooting the crap going around a circle saying, pick Draymond's next team, and him just saying Dallas out of nowhere.
Yeah.
There's a little bit more to it.
Sure. I also wouldn't say that, hey, these teams have both talked about it, and he's talked to Nico Harrison, he knows this. Like, I wouldn't go that far either.
No.
But let's talk about the hypothetical itself. Isaac Harris, you've never spoke about Draymond in this podcast ever, but what would you think about Draymond in Dallas?
Guys, y'all wouldn't be able to handle me on an emergency pod. He's exactly what this team needs. I feel like I've said this thing. Like, it's like Draymond and Terry Rozier has like been the two guys I've talked about in Dallas. But no, I mean, honestly, though, I mean, you look at the situation in Golden State. You go back to, you know, back before they gave Jordan Poole the extension, after they gave Poole the extension, it felt like everybody was talking about on national pods of like, hey, like they're going to have to make a decision this offseason. It's either going to be Poole. They're either going to trade Poole or let Draymond go. And I mean, Jordan Poole's one of their, you know, best young guys. They just gave him the extension. So it feels like all the writing's on the wall for them to let Draymond go.
Draymond punched him in the face. And now here we are.
There you go. Draymond has a player option this summer for $27 million. It looks like he's probably going to opt out. I mean, I guess he could opt into that.
I don't know.
But if he opts in, then obviously he's a, you know, he's an expiring contract at that point. If he opts out, he's such a unique guy because not every team's going after him. Like, and even people listen to this that are Mavs fans, like, I'm assuming there's a good portion of Mavs fans there sitting there killing me in the comments saying, dude, get Draymond away from this team. You wouldn't put Draymond on every team in the league. And even, like, there's so, like, you're not bringing Draymond in and paying him $25 to $30 million a year to be a number one or number two option on your team either. It's a situation like Dallas that it's the prime opportunity. It's the prime situation outside of Golden State. Golden State's the perfect fit for him, playing with Steph and all that. But I think it's a situation like Dallas that is win now. We need vet experience. We need somebody who's going to come in. We already have a Kyrie and Luka. We don't need somebody that's going to come in and demand the ball and all the stuff. We need somebody to do all the intangibles and be the – we always talk about, like, gluing all these people together to be, like, one person. He would be the, like, combination of a lot of these things that they need on the basketball floor. I'm just all about it. He brings title experience. They need somebody like that that can talk on defense. They need somebody that can talk to Luka and get in Luka's face when he's not hustling. They need somebody like Draymond. He would be great on this team, man. Like, y'all wouldn't be able to contain me if they re-signed Kyrie and they brought Draymond in. I would be sitting there saying, "All right, y'all want to book the parade or I'm ready."
He's what they need. Another just guy that can pass, get guys the ball open. We've seen Kyrie play off the ball. He can play that role really well. Luka would have to work on it, like you said. But it's the defense, just being versatile, a leader that would step up. It would be such – I don't know how they would get this done. I don't know. Like, I don't think they'd have enough cap space with Luka and a re-signed Kyrie. Like, I don't think they can do it that way. It would have to be some kind of sign and trade. And at that point –
oh, yeah, it'd have to be a sign and trade type
thing. At that point, I don't know what you're giving Golden State that they feel good about it, unless they're just trying to get off of him, just trying to get something for him, which we've seen those trades in the past where you go, wait, they got who for what? And you're confused as to how that happens. So that's how it would have to go down. And the Warriors would probably want to take back less salary. So I don't see the Mavericks having to give, like, too much.
Tim Hardaway.
Yeah, right. Like, I don't know what they would have to give up if they're you know, Tim Hardaway, Davis's essentially expiring contract. And maybe they're like, you know, they're good with that because they'll get off that salary a little bit earlier. But yeah, he'd be so great. He'd fix a lot of their holes like right away.
There's so many things that we've talked about them needing a vocal veteran that's actually in the rotation.
Yeah.
They need a defender. They need championship experience. They need like all of these things. And yeah, man, like,
and him and Luka would fight. Him and Luka would
get in. But they respect each other so much, though.
But they would respect you. You and I went to San Francisco, went to Game 1 and Game 2 of the Western Conference Finals. And the one big thing that I walked away from that is how much that team respected the Mavericks and Luka specifically.
Yeah.
And how they talked about him and how Draymond talked about him. And it did seem a little bit like a younger brother, like, hey, that's cute. You guys are coming up and, you know, the up-and-coming team. We're going to kick your butts. And they did. But the way that they talked about him was so much more deferential than the way the Suns talked about him. The Suns in the series before, we were listening to all those press conferences and just saying, like, what? The laughing between Chris Paul and Devin Booker.
You'd think it'd be the other way around. The team that's won, you know, four titles would be the, you know, the ones
overconfident, talking
like the Suns. Yeah.
But it wasn't. But the Warriors, especially Draymond, I remember sitting in Draymond's presser after, I think it was like a practice or something, and just saying, wow, he really spoke really highly of Luka, and that's really cool. The other part of this Bill Simmons thing was he said that LeBron would be coming shortly after that. And we've seen LeBron Draymond things where we know they want to play together, right? Like we know they want to play
and
together.
And Kyrie.
And so could they do it in Dallas? After that, I have no idea how you make that happen. Like all those guys happen. And then at that point, would you even want that to happen?
I plead the fifth. nothing would make me like my brain explode than wanting Luka and the Mavs to get another title, but if it meant LeBron getting another title. I honestly can't even think about it. I don't even know what I would do.
That means you're a fake Mavs fan.
That's not true.
You're a fake Mavs fan. You wouldn't want the Mavs to get a title?
No, I would. Yeah.
I think you'd be rooting against the Mavericks to get a title if LeBron was on the team.
No, I'd want the Mavs because I mean he's
soon as soon as Jordan shows up at that finals game, you'd be like, I don't even want them to win, Mike. Like,
hey, he still wouldn't be, you know, close to Mike anyway. So
let us know in the comment section. What do you think about that? What do you think about Draymond potentially LeBron? Let us know in the comment section. And then, do you think the Mavericks of current have any more cards left to play? We'll talk about that, and we will be back with some post games. The Mavericks play the Heat on Saturday. We'll have a post game there. We'll also have a post game after the Hawks game as well. So we appreciate you guys hanging out with us 5 days a week, and also every post game. Guys, thanks so much for listening to Locked On Mavs.
Peace out.
Boom.